Odyssey Sports Station. Get in the game and turn up 92.9, 680 AM. Smart speakers say play 92.9 ESPN. Or download the free Odyssey app and follow 92.9 FM ESPN. Redefining the sports broadcasting frontier, just like Elon Musk does in tech.
So what you actually want to have is an interactive learning experience.
92.9 FM ESPN, bringing sports stories and fun as fast as the speed of Elon Musk's new Memphis supercomputer. Always free on the Odyssey app.
I was talking to the folks at Leaders the other day. Leaders Credit Union, of course, place that I've been talking about, does all the things a bank does: mortgages, car loans, checking accounts, debit cards. Only they exist purely for the benefit of their members, and so they've got better technology, they've got better rates. Every penny they earn is poured right back into helping their customers, their members. But a couple of things came up during this meeting. One, they just broke ground on a new Arlington location, so that's exciting. Also, a reminder, if you sign up at Leaders, or when you sign up at Leaders, mention ESPN, and you get the $25 membership fee waived. To learn more, go to leaderscu.com, leaderscu.com/ESPN.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't.
He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you better run. Yeah, I predict an earthquake up in hell.
Wonderful, happy Thursday. Today on the radio show, we've got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then, I don't know what's happened to the American work ethic, Jeffrey, really. We got Fishman missing two straight fish on Friday on Tuesdays. And now he's gallivanting in the Amazon, of all places, where he's not even reachable. And then we got Kevin Cerrito.
Out of pocket again.
Out of pocket again. And let's be clear, we got John Martin, who took, I think, 3 months off, right? And I seem to be gone every other day.
Yes.
Like, what the hell has happened to America?
I mean, I even took a couple of days off.
Oh, no. I really? Did you? Yes, you did.
I went to my buddy's wedding in Boston.
So what happens in this circumstance is, you know, it's like the football coaches say. And I don't know if you ever heard this, but it's something that I'm thinking of coining, Jeffrey.
Okay. Trademarking.
Yeah, I just, what I've decided is that what we need is a, I don't even want to say it out loud because I fear someone's going to beat me to it. Once I say it, you're going to realize what a genius expression it is. And when I need to rush to the trademark office. What we need is a next man up mentality. A next man up mentality. Have you ever, isn't that genius? It captures what we need.
It really does crystallize.
Yeah, exactly.
It's,
and I was just
brilliant.
Pondering it last night to come up with that original phrase, the next man up mentality. And it turns out, in the next man up, when Kevin Cerrito isn't here to ask the questions, and in all seriousness, I'm grateful he is here so often to ask the questions. It's become a, I heard from someone last week who said, two segments I never miss, Fish on Friday on Tuesday and Trivia, Writer Than Write Trivia. So Kevin,
they're not sports ones.
Kevin has been central to that, and but he's not here, and so this is not going to come as good news to Jeffrey,
No.
Because I skew the questions to favor the challenger. I have come up with the question, special Father's Day edition of Writer Then Write Trivia. Jeffrey, do we have a prize?
We do indeed, Jeff. We've got four tickets to go see AEW Wrestling. It's AEW Collision. It's going to be at the Lander Center July the 6th. You get four tickets to go see all the big-time wrestling.
What is AEW?
AEW is the Tony Khan production. So remember the Jaguars? Yep. Remember when the Jaguars draft wearing the neck brace? That's their new promotion.
I got you. Okay. And it's at the Lander Center.
Correct.
All right. So we will be giving away four tickets to that in the special Father's Day edition of Writer Than Write Trivia. We will do that in the second hour. Chris Harrington once again joins us straight up at 10 o'clock. There was a lot, obviously, yesterday, a lot of reflections about Jerry West and his passing. That news broke right before our show began yesterday. I subsequently wrote a column on it. And it's funny, I called Andy Dolich, who used to be the president of business operations when all this was happening. And it was funny because there were a couple things. There were some things I remembered, a lot of things I remembered, but some things I forgot. One was, and I'm not even sure we knew this. This might have been news. You know that house in Southwind that we talk about where Jerry lived?
Oh, yeah.
Mike bought that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Andy Dolich said, so there's this big house in Southwind. And as Andy said, it had a golf hole, even though it's on Southwind.
Right.
And it had a bass fishing pond.
Of course.
And so Jerry could just go out there like he is in the end. Like he's
from West Virginia.
He was L.A., but he's a guy from West Virginia. He could go out there and catch a fish or play golf in his backyard. And Andy said, I know, because after Jerry left, Andy was still here. He said, I had the keys to the place, and occasionally I'd just go out and catch a fish and play a hole of golf. But that was part of it. Wooing Jerry West here, it's almost like I wrote about it. I lived it. I covered it. I still have a bit of a hard time believing it, that really did happen, that Jerry West came here. And the quote, I looked it up yesterday, the quote from Bill Plaschke before it happened, he said, I believe Jerry West is going to Memphis. I also believe that mutton-chopped fat guys in satin suits are Elvis. That's the level of skepticism there was about Jerry West coming to Memphis. And yet he did. And I guess the question is this, Jeffrey. Had he not come, that team had won 23 games in the first year, okay? Won 23 games in the first season. It had never won more than 27 games. And as we know, the Grizzlies were very polarizing at that point still, even though some of that had started to wane because people liked Shane so much and they'd started to like Pau and everything else. But still, what would have happened? Because very quickly, they start...
By the way, 23 wins was the most wins that the franchise had ever had.
I thought they got 27. No.
15, they went 15-16 in Vancouver, 14-68, 19-63, 8-42, but that was a 50-game season, 22-60, 23-59 in their final season in Vancouver,
and then another
23-59.
So they went 0-8, they fired Sidney Lowe.
Yep.
And he hired Hubie Brown, who had not coached for 15 years. Again, incredible.
Not because he didn't want to coach.
Right. He just had been like, yeah, no, this guy's too crazy. We can't. He's too irascible, is the word I used in the column. And so they wanted no part of him. He was a little bit like Thibodeau. Like, you know, just in terms of demanding and he was a little more hair and fire than Thibodeau. But anyway, so very quickly they started, they didn't get in the playoffs this year, but the next year they won 50 games during the playoffs and away we go, right?
Yes.
What does the alternate universe with no Jerry West and no Hubie looks like? I don't think that it means the Grizzlies would have left. Like, I don't think it means that because I always thought, and I was the person saying for forever, all you people who are talking about this Grizzlies leaving, you're wildly misguided. Honestly, here's the truth. The threat of the Grizzlies leaving is bigger right now. It's still not significant, but bigger right now than it has been any other time in history. And it certainly was not big in back then. So I don't think there's this alternate universe where the Grizzlies aren't here. But it is interesting to contemplate the alternate universe, because Jerry very quickly, again, never won a playoff game, but very quickly, Jerry and Hubie, but it was Jerry who picked Hubie, Jerry who persuaded Hubie, Jerry and Hubie gave this franchise credibility. So what does the alternate universe look like?
I mean, I get what you're saying in terms of legally you had a lease and whatnot that the Grizzlies...
Well, they also just were never... They just moved here. They were not looking to leave. Like, I suppose they could have floundered for 10 years and left at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I just always think, like, whenever you were eventually would have an ownership change, I mean, who knows? Like, to me, like, if
it... That was so far down the road, though. The ownership change was, you know, after the core four. It was... Heisley wasn't at that point in the market.
Right, but what if, you know, Heisley had tried to sell the team before. What if you don't ever get proof of concept and he just decides, you know what, screw it, I'm just selling it now.
And this was a mistake. I do believe he was critically important in terms of establishing massive credibility for the organization. And in fact, I think his impact here is underrated, because although he bit his lip and did what he had to do to promote the franchise in a way that he did not enjoy, you know, he didn't enjoy doing handshake things with season ticket holders. He didn't enjoy being on the cover of the media guide. There was a commercial which was Jerry West helping a old lady pick a tomato at a grocery store, you know, like draft the tomato, yeah. Which one to take? So he did that stuff, and didn't love it. And so he never did the whole hugged Memphis, Memphis will hug you back thing. He did more than he wanted to do, honestly, in terms of being the face of the franchise, 'cause he knew he had to, but he was never like, I think people look back at that era without much warmth. The warmth is towards Hubie. They look back at that era with warmth toward Hubie, warmth toward Shane. I think a growing appreciation of Powell, but still mixed. And I think people are very mixed on Jerry. I don't think there's a lot of gratitude and warmth towards Jerry. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I still think the key part for the Jerry West tenure was it was proof of concept. It was... Even more so than like when Jordan came in for the first game and you got to see superstars in Memphis.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Shouldn't people appreciate it more than we do? Should the feelings towards Jerry be warmer and more appreciative? I mean, not that he needs adulation. He's gone now anyway, and he's getting plenty of it all day yesterday. All, you know, whatever else. Up and down the league. One of the most significant.
1,000. Like, I mean, to me, like...
But in Memphis, weirdly enough, it's... Yeah, that was nice, but kind of disappointing.
I mean,
maybe that's not what people think. Maybe I'm misinterpreting what the broader
There's no question
is.
That those teams, despite being good regular season teams, never having a playoff win, whatnot, there's no question that there is not the affinity. There's a lack of affinity for those teams compared to other teams. And the core four in particular.
Well, but I think that's appropriate, right?
Yes, obviously so. But I think a lot of that's winning. To me, the key, though, is I think he's underappreciated from the sense of, like, I don't think people realize just how bad the franchise was. The fact that they went to three straight playoffs and basically did it in the course of a season.
Like, that is amazing. He had Shane and Powell. Like, they had already done the heavy lifting of, and even if you want to count Jay Will and Lorenzen and whatever, they had done that before he got there. They had Shane and Powell to build around. Although, let's be honest, Shane was not an all-star level player. Let me ask you this. Of the players in that era, in order, top five most popular players from that era.
All right. Probably, let's see, one.
So we got, here's the thing. We got Shane, we got Mike, we got Lorenzen, we got Powell, we got James Posey, we got Jason Williams.
Yeah, Williams gets traded what?
He's wildly popular.
No, Jason Williams is still wildly popular. I'm trying to remember. Okay.
He's definitely from that era. I
think Lorenzen's probably the most popular.
I disagree.
I think locally.
Lorenzen's the most popular of that group?
I think if we're talking just locally, and then it's probably J. Will.
Is Lorenzen more popular than Mike Miller?
I mean.
And more popular than Shane?
I think so. I mean, we had the Lorenzen bobblehead before any of them.
Because he was not at the time the most popular. That's that very clear. At the time, the most popular was Shane. And that's not close. Now, it's possible, looked back, Shane went on to play for other teams. Lorenzen tragically murdered. Lorenzen obviously also a Memphis Tiger once upon a time. I can buy the argument that Lorenzen right now. All right, let's do it. Jeff Gawkins and show poll. Now we're going to have to. The problem is we only get four.
Problem is we got to narrow it down.
We got to narrow it down.
So I think you're right that.
Who's the most popular Grizzly of the Jerry West era? And the choices will be. Here's the funny thing. Powell probably shouldn't be on the list.
No, I mean.
Because in terms of. Weird, like if a popularity contest, it would be J. Will, Shane, Mike, Lorenzen, and Powell. Those are the five. It wasn't Posey, so we have to cut someone. J. Will.
I don't think Jason Williams should be cut.
Miller, Lorenzen. Maybe we should say non-Powell. This is impossible. We need five choices here. We can't do this. You have to let people pick Powell if they want to pick Powell. He's the greatest player of that era. You have to let. I don't think we can responsibly until we get this program changed. Who would you cut?
All right, so maybe the choices should just be Hal, Mike, J. Will, and Shane.
But then you're leaving out the guy who you think is the most popular.
I mean, you're saying in real you're saying in real time you don't think that's the case.
But yes,
and I mean,
what inspired this poll was I wanted to see where Lorenzen, if in fact you were right. I'm open to it. Who's the most popular? And we're asking now. We could ask the people. I don't know if anyone is going to be interested in calling about this. We'll ask the people real quick. 445-0929, 445-0929. And if you want to include Hubie or Jerry.
There's no question the most popular beloved is still Hubie.
Is Hubie more popular than anyone, any player?
So.
Who's the most popular
Grizzly from that
era? And maybe, like, here's the other thing I learned in talking about this. 445-0929. The other thing I thought about talking about this is that everyone remembers the Core 4 era. There's a lot of people, like Paul Young was talking about this over the weekend, what a Grizzly fan he has become. But he kind of became a Grizzly fan during the Core 4 era. Maybe you all weren't tuned into these Grizzlies. 445-0929, 445-0929.
There's no question the Tigers were clearly more dominant in terms of popularity.
Well, that's the other thing. Is that this does overlap with the Tiger team that, you know, went to the Final Four and went to the championship game and should have won the championship game. So maybe the answer is Derrick Rose or Antonio Anderson or John Calipari, or is that possibly the answer?
Joey.
Or Joey? That's what, if you were
gonna, CDR, maybe?
If you get into the same question for who was the most popular Tiger of that era, the nice thing is you can just leave off Robert Dozier.
Yeah.
He wasn't the most popular. So there it's Joey, Antonio, Derrick
CDR.
Rose, and CDR.
Yeah.
So there you go. Well, anyway, we'll if anyone does want to see, this is my theory. My theory is that, in fact, a lot of Grizzlies became Grizzly fans. A lot of Grizzly fans became Grizzly fans during the Core Four era. And
right,
so while
I think
this era as if it happened yesterday,
is they won.
Oh, that's
playoff
when
run.
It's the way I described it was, is the spark in the love affair, the spark was created during that first three teams. That was the spark. And it's funny, it was Andy Dolich's phrase, into the DNA of the city. That was his phrase. But the team that really lodged the Grizzlies into the DNA of the city was the Core Four. Because they never won a playoff game. And that did hurt. All right, we will take some calls on this. I'm just curious. Like, who was the most popular Grizzly from that era? If you want to go players only, that's fine. If you want to throw in Hubie, that's fine too. Jeffrey made the theory was it's Lorenzen. I think at the time it was Shane. Looking back, it's Hubie, I think, from the perspective of history, it's Hubie. And maybe Mike Miller. 445-0929. Who do we got, Jeffrey?
Jeff, let's start with Susan in East Memphis. Susan, you're on.
Hey, Susan. Up, Susan. We don't have Susan. Something is amiss.
Susan, are you there?
Susan. I have no Susan. Maybe this is ill-fated, Jeffrey. It's possible that this is ill-fated. Oh, there goes Susan. there goes Susan. And there goes another. Jeffrey, this is ill-fated. It appears that this is ill-fated. We're losing. Never mind.
I know Jason and John said they were having phone problems.
Yeah, all right,
yesterday.
We apologize for that. We're just going to have to, we're going to have live. Okay, last night. And I'm in no hurry to talk about this, as you can tell. A final series that is 3-0 is not compelling. Can we agree?
Totally agree.
In fact, even in Boston, 60,000 people showed up to see Tom Brady got his number retired.
Which had already happened.
Really, they showed up to see him inducted into the Pats Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. and in the process, they announced that his number would be retired. Meanwhile, the Boston Celtics win again. They are up 3-0. Dallas, you know, got off to a decent start and then made the run to get back into it. Late, the 22-2 run to get back into it late. But all anyone's talking about, it's not so much Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, both who are terrific, or how unbelievable the Celtics have been. 10 straight playoff wins. If they win their next game, they will be 80-20 for this season overall, which is staggering. They're 10-1 in the playoffs without Kristaps Porzingis. They deserve all the credit they really aren't even necessarily getting. Like, they've been terrific. It's the point that Chris Herring has made all along. They have been the best team all year. People wanted to discount their road to the playoffs. They've been terrific. Now they're terrific again. All anyone can talk about is Luka fouling out with 4:12 left, down 3, and his constant whining. Do we have the Windhorse clip?
We do, Jeff.
And he was absolutely lit up. Luka was absolutely lit up by Brian Windhorse on ESPN after the game.
Luka and Kyrie combined for actually more than Tatum and Brown did, but Luka fouls out late. I just wonder your reaction to that whole sequence.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect that Luka fell onto the ground there in an unacceptable position to put himself in with 4 minutes left with 5 fouls, and then immediately looks at the bench and says, "You better bleeping challenge it," as if it's the bench's fault that he just made a terrible play. I'm standing here in the Mavericks tunnel. Over there is the Celtics tunnel. That's where the winners are. If Luka's ever going to be a winner coming out of this tunnel here, he is going to have to use this, have what's happened in this finals, as a learning experience. His defensive performance is unacceptable. He is a hole on the court. The Celtics are attacking him. They are ahead in this series because they have attacked him defensively. And you've got a situation here where Luka is complaining about the officiating. They have begged him. They have talked with him. They have pleaded with him. He is costing his team because of how he treats the officials. He's a brilliant player. He does so many things well. They are here because of how he did. His performance in this game is unacceptable and the reason why the Mavericks are not going to win. He's got to get over this. And the fact that he came out after the game and blamed the officials showed me he's nowhere close yet. So maybe over the summer, somebody will get to him because nobody with the Mavericks or anybody else in his life has. And that's where the Mavericks are at this point. They're never going to get to this tunnel with the trophy if he doesn't improve those aspects of his game.
Brian Windhorst, I'll leave it right there. I appreciate your time.
That is some tough stuff from Brian Windhorst. And a couple things struck me about that. One is, that's not Brian Windhorst. Like,
that, totally agree. That was somebody in the organization talking to Windhorst.
Oh, you think so? Well, I mean, it's just not typically what it's not typically what Windhorst does, right? He does not light people up. He's not a flamethrower. He is a guy who, what's he most famous for? I wonder.
What's going on here?
What's going on? He's most famous for insight.
Well, being the original LeBron
scoops.
Guy.
He was also, yes, he was the original LeBron guy. But he is not a guy who comes in and destroys players. Like, this is not what his, that's not, he's not Skip Bayless, you know, going after people at all. So it was very clearly frustration. Okay, then secondly, and this is the point that you just sort of suggested, I thought the most interesting thing about the actual substance of what he said was about how many people and how often people have tried to get Luka to stop with the incessant whining. He obviously whines, and you're wondering, like, why don't the Mavs, like, say this is – you're not serving forget what it – you're just not serving the cause here. You're not serving the cause of winning by the way you comport yourself. You're not serving the cause of your own personal – popularity and image, by the way you comport yourself. I thought the fact that he went on about how much he has been talked to about this was really revealing.
Yes.
Didn't you think?
Totally agree. Because to me, it shows the organization's frustrated.
The organization is frustrated with this aspect of his game. Obviously a superstar. And then the third thing is, it's just a reminder of, man, when you get to the finals, in any sport, the spotlight burns bright. Honestly, in playoffs generally. Like, we've seen Anthony Edwards the next Michael Jordan on one day, and then where's Anthony Edwards on the next, right? We've seen Kyrie absolutely heading into this final series. He was magnificent, or at least that, you know. And then here he doesn't show up for games one and two, and he's getting blasted, right?
Jeff, we had the playoff discussion of, is Luka and Kyrie the greatest backcourt?
The greatest backcourt ever. Like, we talk about overreaction and recency bias. The light in the playoffs is so bright that players' images, like, it was just yesterday that Luka was hitting a step back over the, you know, against the Timberwolves that made him the greatest ever.
No, I mean, like, I think
now he's like, he's a loser. He's got to shut up. And by the way, he does have to shut up. Like, and it was a, what was the woeful performance was the final foul. It was a block, but the main point is you just can't do that. You just, like,
you can't put yourself in that position.
You can't put yourself in that position. You have five fouls. So even if you're going to call it 50-50 or 60-40 or whatever, that's a foul you can take when it's your first foul. Now, there were other fouls early on that he took that got him in this position, just stupid, lazy reach-in fouls that were like, what are you doing here? And that set up this. But once you've got the five, you can't do that. You can't do that. You just got to let him blow by you like he's been blowing by you all day.
Yeah, I mean, I agree on all that. I guess the only thing that I would push back on is I don't think he's the reason why they're down 3-0.
Very clearly not.
Like, to me, the thing that is just so apparent about this series when you watch it is Boston is just so much better.
That is 100% true. That is 100% true. But Boston is better across the board.
But I do agree. Like, there was a foul on a rebound where, like,
and
it's
so
like, what
if
are you doing?
And so who's the light? The light's, well, we can say that over and over. We can say Boston's great. That's kind of a, like, that's not a hot.
Yep.
And so then, but then that, you look at, you then the spotlight shifts to Dallas, and you needed Kyrie and Luka to be great.
Yes.
And in games one and two, Kyrie wasn't great. And last night, Luka wasn't great. And so what we're doing is we're eviscerating those guys. Yes, it would help if they had Drew Holiday and
Derek White.
Right.
Obviously, if they had Xavier Tillman, the X Factor.
Yeah, if they had. Nice that he got a moment there. Locking down Luka, hitting a three. Chris Harrington has always been supportive of Tillman hitting threes.
It's good he had the second half. His first half
was a little rough.
Yes.
So, anyway, it was striking. And then I thought about it in terms of the Grizzlies. If someday the Grizzlies get back to... Listen, first round, the light's not that bright. It was for the Grizzlies against the Lakers, right?
Because right? that's
the Lakers. Correct. It's LeBron. Dylan Brooks did what he did. The light isn't that bright in the first round. But if you advance in the playoffs, I'm just going to be fascinated to see, in particular, how Ja holds up.
Yeah. I mean, that's the key question.
You can imagine him going for 42 and being... crowned as the, you know, my God, we made a mistake crossing off Ja, forgetting about Ja. He is one of the incandescent faces of the league, whatever. You can imagine him getting the Anthony Edwards treatment.
Sure.
Right? You can also imagine him getting the Luka treatment. He's a hole on, you know, they're hunting him relentlessly.
Can't
shoot.
He's
got to be a better shooter. He's got, listen, he's a great player. Because what happens is that you take these great players, and when they lose, you just focus on their flaws. And so when they lose, like Luka did last night, what everyone's focused on is on the whining, right? And the whining and the defense. He's still a great player, but when they lose, they focus on the flaws. So if the Grizzlies get there and they lose, I can only imagine the commentary will be, you know what? You can only get by on physical gifts so often. You got to get in the gym. And he's got to learn that he's got to work on his shooting. He has to be a credible shooter if he wants to be the face of the league, right? Like, you can imagine that conversation. Or he has to be a more, he's going to have physical limitations as a defender, whatever else. But he's got to be a better defender if he is going to be the face of the league. And then you can imagine him up there. Luka was also criticized for his post-game press conference on how he handled it, right? Because he was still complaining about the officials. Their scrutiny, the scrutiny extends to that, to there as well. Like, I hope we get a chance to see it, because it's remarkable to see. It is fun to see, but the light burns bright, man.
No, I mean, what playoff sports do more than anything is, if you have a flaw as a team, it eventually exposes you. So, you know, let's start with the Lakers. Their flaw was, outside of LeBron and AD, they don't have very much. They get exposed. They have a competitive series, but they're done in five. All right, then let's go with Denver. Denver's weakness was Jamal Murray was not playing at the level that he had played.
And their depth was not what it was.
Didn't have the depth.
Like, we knew that. Here's the truth. Back in the summer, you would have said, Denver's great, but my God, they're not.
They
were thin last year, and now they're thinner. They also were totally healthy last year. What's going to happen now? And sure enough, that got exposed.
And then let's go with Minnesota. Minnesota, much like the Grizzlies, their one flaw all year was, man, they're not a great half-court offense.
Right.
What got them? And then now we're seeing with Dallas, like, what is their flaw? Their flaw is their best player is whiny, and he can be attacked on the defensive end.
Partly, of course, is what's interesting is Boston's flaw all along, up to this year, had been clutch play, right?
Tatum's going, I mean,
and
the same thing.
This year, their clutch numbers are off the chart.
Yep.
Great. So you can work on your flaw. Now, some of that's just roster construction, right? A lot of that was roster construction. But some of it is also... just because you are written off as one thing one year doesn't mean that you always
You're
have to be that thing that you always have to be forever that thing. Look at Lamar. Like, Lamar, in the end, he has the opportunity to prove someday that
he's got to be able to do it in the playoffs.
That he can be a playoff quarterback.
Yes.
But until he does, people are going to keep writing off Lamar.
Yes.
Because on the biggest stage, the greatest players, it's not enough to just get your team there.
Yes.
It's what you do once you get there. Also gets me into the Tom Brady stuff, which I want to talk about a little bit when we return. We also have news on two fronts from the Memphis Tiger basketball program. Chris Harrington's going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock. And we got Righter Than Right trivia in the second hour. Before then, I will remind you all kinds of memorable things happening, probably in your world. Graduations, weddings, all sorts of things happening this time of year. And if you get pictures, if you got memorabilia, the place to go to preserve it forever is the frame corner. If you don't do it now, it's just going to sit in the corner. And what you can take your kid's jersey or your diploma or the collection of photos, and you can take it into the frame corner and put it on the counter and say, listen, I want to make something beautiful and memorable. I want to preserve this memory forever, because custom framing is what they do. You can buy a frame there, certainly, but their specialty is custom framing. It's the Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
As a roofer, spring means the start of my busy season, which means I've got to get organized with help from Beacon. I can save time with Beacon Pro Plus and 24/7 access to live pricing, delivery tracking, order history, and more. Plus, this spring, I can earn $1,000 and the chance to win a $25,000 backyard renovation just by buying my CertainTeed shingles online with Beacon. No purchase necessary. Now that's what I call a spring cleanup. Visit BECN.com for official rules and to start earning entries.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Diego.
Hi, Diego. It's Jennifer Coolidge. You know, I just want to say your cashback match makes me feel so special. It really inspired me.
That's great. Doubling the cashback you've earned at the end of your first year is what we do.
Well, I'm doubling everything now. Double dating, double dipping, double feature, double header, double whammy. You know, basically double or nothing.
You earn, we match. Discover cashback match. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let me tell you about my friends Carl and Karen. This place is sus. Let's go to Tunica.
And so they did. And immediately, they became winners.
Hey, baby, what you doing?
Winning. Hey, baby, what you doing?
Winning.
And not just gaming either. They did
spinning, dancing.
Winning. Or at the sports court.
Winning.
Or enjoying a world-renowned meal.
Winning.
No matter what you're doing in Tunica, you're always the winner.
Learn more at tunicatravel.com.
I've got him on the line, rockin' Ronnie Smith. And Ronnie, I hear it's the Make This the Summer event going on now at Gossett Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Fiat.
That's right, Randy. I've got 2024 Ram 1500 Tradesman Quad Cab 4-Wheel Drive, $649 a month.
Man, that is awesome. What else you got, Ronnie?
2024 Jeep Gladiator Sport 4-Wheel Drive, $659 a month.
That's a hot deal on Gladiator Sport. What else you got?
Get super power in a 2023 Charger RT Scat Pack, $698 a month. That's $8,600 off MSRP.
So drive past the rest and come to the best at Gossett Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Fiat on the Pike. Or shop online anytime at GossettMotorCars.net.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
All 75 months, 5,000 down. Ram, RN19-4282, MSRP 48,595. Jeep, RL11-6172, MSRP 51,690. Charger, PH612-877, MSRP 55,110. Price includes all rebates and incentives and excludes PF695. Payments include PF695. All exclude tax, title, and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Dealer stock only.
Hey, everybody. It's Howie at Robert Irwin Jewelers. The Summer of 1,000 Engagement Sale is going on right now. Save up to 40% off. And with every purchase of $24.95 or more, you're going to get a summer sunny getaway for two. Robert Irwin Jewelers or online at rijewelers.com. See a store for complete details.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze, and right now you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/radio. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Recent weather taking a toll on your roof? A-Team Roofing has you covered, literally, with their 24-hour tarp service to stop further damage.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
Consumer investigator Andy Wise here. I'm talking with longtime customers about why they love the Shot Nurse.
What do you love about the Shot Nurse?
Because of my work, I have to get a lot of vaccines for travel, and the Shot Nurse always has everything I need, and I don't need an appointment. I love it.
For efficient wellness and immunization services, the Shot Nurse is your wise choice.
Solutions you need with a personal touch. The Shot Nurse.
Father's Day is just around the corner. It'll be here before you know it. Needless to say, the worst thing you can do is wait to the last minute to get that special dad in your life a gift he deserves. So don't make that mistake. Instead, go ahead and get to James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center. This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about James Davis for years. It's one of the best clothing stores in the nation. Lucky for us, it's right here in Memphis. James Davis is where I get my suits and shirts for television work. The place to go for the best Father's Day presents this year, it's James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center. Online, jamesdavisstore.com.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, here to tell you about my podcast called Search Engine, voted one of the best new podcasts by Time Magazine, Vogue, and The Economist. We answer fascinating questions about business, tech, and history. Questions like, who should be in charge of artificial intelligence? Or, how did ADHD medication get so popular so fast? Listen and follow Search Engine with PJ Vogt and Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your window into affordable luxury is Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis.
At Pella, we offer quality replacement windows at any budget.
I can't believe the price of my new windows. They were so affordable.
If I knew I could afford windows and doors as gorgeous as these, I would have chosen Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis years ago.
Right now, save 25% on your entire project or get 50% off installation.
The highest quality, the greatest value.
Choose Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis, your window into affordable luxury.
Hey, Mid-South, I've got Marty McNate getting back to the past on these prices at Gossett Volkswagen Germantown.
This is heavy, Doc. I mean, Randy. Let's go with 42 MPG Highway and a 2024 Volkswagen Jetta SE for $249 a month. Or take your pick from a 2024 Tiguan S or 2024 Taos SE for only $279.28 a month.
Great Scott, McNate. You got it going on at Gossett Volkswagen Germantown on Winchester Road. Let me hit those deals again. 2024 Volkswagen Jetta SE, $249 a month, or take your pick. 2024 Tiguan S or Taos SE, $279.28 a month.
Your future is whatever you make of it, Randy, so let us help you make your future down here at Gossett Volkswagen Germantown, 7420 Winchester Road, or shop online at GossettVWG.com.
All 36 monthly, 7,500 miles per year, 20 cents excess mileage, Jetta number RMO46526, MSRP 26996, Tiguan RM103910, MSRP 31363, Taos RM00174, MSRP 31414, includes all credit and incentives. PF 695 excludes DTNL. See dealer for complete details. With approved credit, dealer stock only. Offer expires end of the month.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Once again, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. You know what I'm going to do? I need to run the
popularity question.
Well, that too. But I really, yesterday with Chris, we talked about Game Theory podcast and how they proposed a trade for the Grizzlies in the first round. And he was going to listen to it as he was driving from Chicago back to the Twin Cities. And so we'll be able to analyze, get his thoughts on this a fake trade. I love fake trades, just to be clear. I love fake trades. And so we'll get his thoughts on that and additional players who the Grizzlies could target as their future big, plus, of course, the NBA Finals. All that from Chris. And then we got Right and Then Right trivia, a special Jeff Calkins edition, as I will be quizmaster because Kevin is not here, lamentably. And so we will do that in the second hour. Before that, Jeffrey, the Tom Brady stuff. Tom Brady was inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame last night. And a couple things struck me about that. First, classy of Peyton Manning to be there. Didn't you think so? Like, in person. And he pointed out that when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, Tom Brady was there for him. So he wanted to be there in person last night.
I mean, it was a classy move, but I mean, what's Peyton doing? I mean, busy schedule?
He's just being Peyton at this point, I presume.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a good life to be Peyton.
Absolutely.
Right? So I like that. Secondly, you had the quote from Brady about Belichick. Belichick, of course, also in the house. Got a huge ovation. He said, this is what Brady said. It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It was us. So, first of all, that's true. Like, I think we've learned, you need a great quarterback, and you need at least a competent coach. Hopefully a really good coach. Like, you look at the Bills versus the Chiefs right now. Chiefs have the better quarterback. They also have the better coach.
Yeah.
So, coaching is not... I think coaching matters in the NFL more than anywhere else, more than any other league. Do we agree with that?
I think
football.
I do. I do agree with that. I also think, though, it's still probably overvalued.
It's still overvalued.
Yes.
You need the player, but it was both of them. Like, those 100%. Defenses, particularly early, like, the administration, they had to draft him. No, they drafted him in the sixth round. They had to recognize that he was better than Drew Bledsoe. They had to build the team around him. They had to... you know, it was not a Tom Brady solo production by any means, very clearly.
In fact, to your point, I would imagine, particularly even at that time, 95% of coaches or more would have just gone back to Bledsoe.
I think so. Safer. The devil you know. Good player. He had a good
year. The owner even wanted them to go back to Bledsoe.
Year. So it wasn't you, it wasn't me, it was us. That's clearly true. Here's the thing, though.
It's a lot easier to say when you won the divorce.
I was going to say, he can say that. If it was Bill Belichick being inducted into the Pats Hall of Fame,
it comes across.
And he said, it wasn't you, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't you, it was us.
It comes across as elevating yourself.
Yeah, you can only say that
if you're
the clear winner. Yes. If you're the one who thinks, if everyone thinks it's you, not us, not them, not both of you, everyone thinks it's Brady now.
Right.
And so Brady can be magnanimous and say that. That's how you know who has won here, very clearly, because Brady can say that. If Belichick said that,
yes, it comes across as elevating.
Get off your high horse. Exactly right.
Still can't get over
it,
can you?
It's us. And the big difference maker there was Tampa, right?
Yes, absolutely.
The big difference maker.
I mean, honestly, I think without that Super Bowl run, Belichick might have a claim. Like, it is bad as it got. But it's the fact that he literally went to Tampa and won the Super
Bowl. And did it instantly.
Yes.
Did it instantly. I don't recall Bill Belichick being the coach in Tampa.
Correct.
So it is interesting. Like, great thing to say, but you can say that when you've won.
Correct.
You know, you can say that when you've won. And then the other thing is, I do think just some were surprised that 60,000 people would show up when the Celtics were playing to celebrate nothing.
Yes.
Right? Not to celebrate nothing. They were celebrating.
But they've already had Tom Brady.
But they've already... there's no game being played last night. It was just I wasn't surprised at all. I think the ability to bask in years gone by, triumphs years gone by, is one of the great things about sports. And here's the truth. I can only imagine, because my teams have never won anything, what it's like to bask in an actual championship. To go back and be a Cowboys fan and think what it was like when Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith or Larry Allen were running the world, or go like if for you to go back with Eli or I can only imagine what that's like.
Cardinals.
It is so much fun to bask in great days gone by that even here in Memphis. Memphis hasn't won either. Tigers haven't won, right? But you go back, and people bask in the John Calipari, that team. My, wasn't that fun? They don't bask in Chalmers hitting the shot. They don't bask in the deck. That's still painful. But you think about that era, and it's just lovely. It's warm. You want to bask in that era.
I mean, look at how many people showed up for Marc Gasol.
Look at how many. Yeah, in a season where nothing's happened, like you just want to go bask and.
I sat through that stupid Sixers game.
You got all you get all the warmth with none of the tension.
Correct.
And none of the possible disappointment. I think the ability to go back, and I would say, like, so what do people in Memphis? I think they bat. There's a lot of things. Some still bask in 72, 73. There's not as many around who can do that, right?
Right.
Andre Turner, though, like that run, there's a lot of people who still go back and bask in that. They still go back, and very clearly they bask in the Calipari era team. We bask in the core four. I think we even bask in small things like the first New Orleans Bowl or going to the Cotton Bowl and getting your ass kicked. Like, people bask in that. Certainly we go back and bask in game day coming to town.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was just one of the great memories of all time. So that's part of the pleasure of sports is not just the moment, great in the moment. The moment comes with its tensions. To go back and just be able to celebrate how awesome it was, what a great thing. If I were a Pats fan, I would have been there a million times over.
I think also there is also a human inclination when, even though, yeah, none of those 60,000 people knew Tom Brady, there's a human instinct to want to thank people that gave you, like, good days. You know, 100%. That was a part of your life.
You feel like a connection. You feel like there's a connection there. Even, here's the truth. I bet a bunch of Bostonians, let's say that game last night had been home,
sure,
right, at a home game, and you'd been offered tickets to that game or tickets to the Brady celebration, I think a bunch would have taken the Brady celebration.
Probably so. I also think Kraft probably, I think if it were a home game, I don't think they would have done it.
No, they wouldn't have done it. Yeah. They wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it. But I'm just saying,
I think that's probably people
enjoy that.
I think there's also, like, it took a while for, I think, Patriots fans to realize the Patriot way really probably was Tom Brady. And I think we've seen, like I've told you, one of my favorite moments in all of life is watching fan bases come to grips with reality. And I think now they recognize, like, that's a special run. It's probably never happening again, but let's go relive it because that was a special run.
Well, that's, yeah, compare that to what the direct that you're going to watch this year. Absolutely.
I think they updated win totals. I think the Pats are now tied with the Panthers for the lowest win total. Does that hurt your soul?
We got, yes. We have news from the University of Memphis, two bits of news. One is Mike Davis, former UAB coach, former Indiana coach, former Detroit Mercy coach.
Mm-hmm. Texas Southern, was it?
Is joining Penny's staff. What say you?
I mean, the obvious question is what role, but in terms of a useful coach, like that's a guy that's been through a lot of the fires, like that's someone that you could lean on. But I mean, it always comes to the same question with Penny. It's like, well, what's the role? Is he going to be used?
Here's the truth. The problem is that at some point, when they're shuffling every year, right? You get excited. We after we did the poll earlier, earlier this week about who is more likely, who's going to be coaching in Memphis next year, right? Taylor Jenkins, Penny Hardaway, both neither. It's a neutral question, right? Like, we didn't supply the answer. In fact, we both voted both.
Yes.
Right? You can't vote because you made the poll.
But I said I would.
You said both. We both voted both. But some people said, listen, you people are too critical and you expect too much. And I'll plead to this. It's harder to get excited about the comings and goings, right, when you've seen the comings and goings add up to one tournament win. It's just harder to get excited.
Totally agree.
So when we've seen coaches come and go every year, and I guess, like, you could have been excited about Larry Brown. Where'd that get you? You know, you could have been excited about Mike Miller. Where'd that get you? You could have been excited about, like, Rick Stansbury, he seems to be good. Rick Stansbury honestly seems to be the energy in this program right now, or a lot of it, right? I think he's doing a lot of good work. I think he's really
totally
important. But it's just hard to get too excited about Mike Davis when, whatever. I guess I presume Mike Davis a year from now is going to be coaching somewhere else, and then we'll have someone else coming in whose name I recognize.
Well, the way that Hitman Hoops wrote the thing that I saw, it was written as, like, this is like a 1 year thing.
Right. So
I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's just tough for me to get super invested.
More invested in the players, because they very clearly matter. And on that front, John Martin has tweeted out, Memphis is officially in the mix for UNLV transfer Kalen Boone. Source close to the program tells me averaged 12.7 points and 6.8 rebounds last season. He is a much traveled player.
Mm-hmm.
Played at, it is amazing. This is the way the world works now. He played at Oklahoma State, and then he kind of had a breakout year for Pacific, where he hit north of 40% of his three pointers. He is a...
Listen, 40% of the West Coast Conference. I mean, that's just getting it done.
He's a good player. He's a good experienced player. John says he saw him in person in Vegas, was impressed by his toughness, etc. Very good player and would be a good addition. Here's the thing. He's only a possibility because of the new rule on transfers, right? The new rule that if you had to sit out a year, because of that now you get a year back, right? And so we don't really know the exact circumstances of how that rule is going to be
applied.
And as you point out, Hitman Hoops, this world of experts who actually do know things, but like they go by names like Hitman Hoops out there. He tweets out, good info from John here. However, I'm told it's an uphill battle for Boone's eligibility chances despite the new rule change. Few schools have already withdrawn themselves from the mix because of this. Worth adding that the ruling is very recent, so it'll be interesting to see what precedent is established moving forward. So now we have a eligibility question in addition to everything else. But there's no question that he would be a very meaningful addition to this roster if he, in fact, is added to the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm naturally a little skeptical because knowing how valuable he was to UNLV, if they thought they could get him back, he is definitely a guy that they would have wanted back.
Yeah, went to the combine. No, he was thinking of keeping his name in the draft. He's got a twin brother. Interesting story, and obviously they'll help you get him. We have not mentioned the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open is well underway, Jeffrey. Let's have a U.S. Open report.
Jeff, it's a hard, firm, fast golf course, and that means Brooks Koepka is going to be in the mix, and indeed he is. He's 3-under through 10. He is tied for the lead. Frenchman Mathieu Pavon, also at 3-under.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I practically thought you were a Parisian there.
Patrick Cantlay, Russell Henley, Tony Finau, Ludvig Hebert, although no one knows how to say his name because they've given it 58 other ways. The other Molinari, Eduardo, something called Isaiah Saldina is also at 2-under, as is Willie Mack the third.
Yeah, let's just tell me about Tiger. Birdied number one.
He birdied number one, and if you were watching live, USA could not have moved his name to the top of the leaderboard faster. It was almost like they put it there. Like as soon as the putt dropped, you saw
leaderboard.
You saw it move right up. He has been struggling.
Talk about basking.
He's struggling as of late. He is at 3-over currently. As Jeff mentioned, he birdied his first hole of the day. That was the 10th hole. However, he has now had back-to-back bogeys as he plays the front nine, which is his second nine. He is 3-over.
There you go.
Tied for 53rd.
US
if he makes the cut, it's a good week.
Did you hear, by the way, that LIV is the Saudi investment fund is going to invest heavily in boxing?
Yes, and they've been they're now doing tennis. I think they sponsor. I think the
it's
rankings.
Funny with like, boxing. I mean, if you set aside the blood, the gore, the torture, the whatever, the sports washing part of it, right? For boxing, it's like I don't hate that. Maybe they can fix boxing. You know what I mean? So what they're doing with boxing is they're going to sign.
If you're going to give us the big fights, sure.
Right. If you're going to give us the big,
give us that
some organized framework that we understand, right? Like the problem with LIV Golf was it destroyed an organized framework that we understood.
Correct.
Right, we understood
it
and fundamentally
professional
liked it.
Golf.
Yeah, like yes. it took something that actually, I'm not saying it was working for the players, but for the spectators, for golf fans, it was working.
It was whole.
It was like, well, we got it. In boxing, this broken system, if they can restore order to present some sense of order, I think people would be grateful. And what they're doing is they're signing 200 boxers. Well, I've already signed 200 boxers. They're going to have 12 weight classes, 15 fighters in a weight class. They're going to have regular fights. There's going to be an obligation to fight regularly. You're going to be able to be you'll be demoted sometimes. You'll be dropped if you're not one of the if your record doesn't stand up. And all of a sudden, you've got a system that you can understand.
It's organized.
It's organized. Like, oh, I get it now.
If we get fights we want to see.
Now the problem is there are various fighters do have contracts with promoters, TV networks, etc., and so that's creating a little bit of impediment. But it is interesting how the same organization, when it comes into golf, let's be honest, I resent it because it has taken something that I enjoyed and enjoyed from a Memphis perspective because we had the tournament here, and it is broken it, right? A lot of the best players no longer come to Memphis. A lot of the best players no longer compete against each other. I hate it.
Yes.
In boxing, I'm not a big boxing guy, but well, I welcome it.
I think, to your point, though, the key distinction is boxing's a mess right now. And so if there's this idea of, all right, we'll pour a bunch of